Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Sabbath, and greetings to those of you who are watching on the webcast, and welcome to the visitors. Quoting from Barner Research Group article titled, America's New Moral Code, dated May 25, 2016. The highest good, according to our society, is finding yourself and then living by what's right for you, says David Kinnaman, president of Barner Group. He also wrote a book titled, Good Faith, Being a Christian When Society Thinks You're Irrelevant or Extreme, and in some cases, they think you are being a extremist. He continued commenting, there is a tremendous amount of individualism in today's society, and that is reflected in the church also. Millions of Christians have grafted New Age dogma onto their spiritual person. When we peel back the layers, we find that many Christians are using the way of Jesus to pursue the way of self. While we wring our hands about secularism spreading through our culture, a majority of church-going Christians have embraced corrupt, me-centered theology. How about us? Are we allowing this type of mindset to affect us? In our society today, diversity means accept any type of lifestyle. Whereas in the past, it may have meant the different various races or different ethnic groups. And as our president has ordered all schools across the country to allow transgender people to use whatever restroom they feel that they should use, and one official in Texas stated that tell the president to keep his 30 pieces of silver. And to an average person, let's say a person that's been reared in a good family, a five-year-old would say, if he heard that statement, he would say something is wrong with that statement, that you would use the bathroom whether what you feel like using. And it's really defies common sense. But that's the society we live in today, a society of liberalism and progressivism, meaning you do whatever you think is right. And this afternoon, my title is Our Election and Calling. It's going to be a message that will have an upbeat. It may start out as a sad or dull or whatever, but I'm trying to encourage everyone that our calling is special. It is something that we should be proud of, or let's say happy about. Some of the things I will be bringing out may dovetail what Mr. Yates talked about. Quoting from an article written by Mr. Bill Bradford in the January 2014 good news, I think. We have accepted God's invitation. We have an understanding of God's plan of salvation. We have been given a rare opportunity to have received God's calling. With that calling comes a responsibility. It is a tremendous blessing to be called by God, and it's one that we should not take lightly. Mr. Hanaway gave a sermon a couple of weeks ago about why do pillars fall, meaning why do people who have spent decades in the church suddenly leave or give up on God and his way of life. And Mr. Vella spoke last week about what happened after the tribulation. If we endure to the end and be a part of God's kingdom, we will be there to teach those people who have gone through a lot of difficulties in their life and being resurrected to a new way of life where they will understand and be taught the right way to live. As I said, we have a responsibility to make our calling and election sure. Let's turn to 2 Peter 1 and we read verse 3 through 11. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 to 11. Verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us, verse 4, exceeding great precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from old sins. Verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an interest will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Quoting from Life Application Study Bible, comment on verse 10. If you truly belong to the Lord, Peter wrote, your hard work will prove it. If you are not working to develop the qualities listed in verse 5 through 7 of 1 Peter, you may not belong to him. If you are the Lord's, your hard work backs your claim to be chosen by God. You will be able to resist the lure of false teaching. Living by God's calling or responding to God's calling, it takes work. And all of us must have a desire to want to be here. We cannot allow the weather or the whoever is speaking or the distance or any of those things to keep us from gathering together with God's people. Some may look upon songs that are sung by various religious groups in our society today as something to avoid. One of the songs that is probably primarily sung in black churches or African-American churches is, put your time in, payday is coming after a while. And they are referring to going to heaven. But if we are serving God, we are putting our time in. If we are yielding to God, and the pay is being in God's kingdom. And there's another song that's sung by Johnny Cash. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. They are hearing again. This is a song that primarily by the people who are of this world's religion, they're thinking they're going to heaven. But we, if we are going to enter God's kingdom, we want our name to be called. Barnes notes on the Bible, comments on verse 10 of 2 Peter 1. There can be no evidence that salvation will be ours unless there is a holy life. That is, unless there is true religion. Whatever may be the secret purpose of God in regards to us, the only evidence that we have that we shall be saved is found in the fact that we are sincere Christians and are honestly endeavoring to do His will. In Hebrews 2, verse 1 to 3, Paul adds, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Hebrews 2, verse 1 through 3. Verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just reward. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? Life Application Study Bible once again comments on verse 1 through 3. The author calls his readers to pay attention to the truth that they have heard so that they wouldn't drift away into false teaching. Paying careful attention takes hard work. It involves focusing our minds and bodies and senses. Listening to Christ means not merely hearing, but also obeying. The invitation we receive is not a sure thing. It has to be involved how well is Christ dwelling in our mind and heart. I have 7 points to think about in regards to our calling. The first point is, God has His own reason to choose for choosing humans. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, God told Abraham, Genesis 12 and verse 3. Genesis 12 and verse 3. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Here was a special calling by God to use Abraham to bring salvation to all people. And it began with Abraham. God chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they had to respond. Whatever God has started, He will finish. Let's read in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Father does the choosing, and Jesus Christ accomplished the Father's will, as we read in John 6, verse 36 through 39. John 6, verse 36 through 39. John 6, verse 36 through 39. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Verse 39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. Many times I wonder, what would I be here if my grandfather did not make the trip over to our home in the late 50s and said, you need to listen to this man on WLAC, Nashville, Tennessee, at 8:30 at night. And I wondered if by some chance that my father would have picked up that station if my grandfather did not tell him about it. My father took the ball and ran with it. My grandfather dropped the ball a short time later. And Satan, as we all know, desires to stop God's purpose by all means. As many people, even decades ago, were taking the plain truth, even in our neighborhood that I grew up. But they would read it regularly, but not accept what they were reading. Their minds were not open to understand what my father and I and my sister at that time understood. We must award human reasoning in John 6 and verse 35. Up a couple of verses from where you were before. John 6 and verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. One of the things that Dr. Ward often says in his sermons is that the three enemies, if I remember correctly, of faith is doubt, human reasoning, and anxious care. We allow all these things to take over our mind and heart and lead us away from God. Another point is, at some point, we were foreknown by God and predestined to be the one he has called. Let's read in Romans 8 and verse 29 through 30. Romans 8, verse 29 through 30. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. God called you and I. And he does not call us to fail. God calling is a high calling that we all should appreciate and not take it lightly. As Philippians 3 and verse 13 through 14 brings out. Philippians 3 verse 13 through 14. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. No matter how well or how good we may think we are, it's not God's call is not based on how good we are. We have a tremendous blessing to have received the invitation that God has granted us. As I am sure you, as well as I, have many relatives who have more education, better jobs, better houses, are better at speaking before an audience than you and I. I have relatives who worked for the government. Well, two have worked for the government in the past. One for the State Department, and that was well before Mrs. Clinton arrived on the scene. And I have a cousin that did work prior to her death for the Social Security Administration, and a younger cousin who is a leader in the tech department at one of the home improvement stores. And also I had classmates that were special, or what the world or society would call special. And one who worked for the local government or the agriculture department, the state government, who died a few years ago. He had the privilege to have part of a section of a busy road named after him. The only fame that all of us who have a last name of Summers is that in the town near where I grew up, one of the avenues is Summers Avenue. So all of us with that last name can claim that road. Another point is God is determined for his plan to work. Let's turn to Isaiah 46 and verse 9. Isaiah 46 and verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. God's purpose is to bring many sons to glory. Adam and Eve made wrong choices, and it was not a problem to God. We read in 1 Peter 1 and verse 20. 1 Peter 1 and verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. We should never think that God is frustrated in his intention to have children who will obey him. His son, God worked through him, and in a very powerful and unmistakable way, he began to call people after Adam's fateful choice. We can read about them in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Another point is God does not reject us because we made mistakes. As we all know, David sinned, and we read in Psalms 51, verse 12 through 13. Psalms 51, verse 12 through 13. What David said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me in your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." David, of course, did not take God's mercy for granted. He was a man after God's own heart. No matter how many mistakes we make as human beings, as God's people, we can repent. Another point is, bad things does not limit God work in us. Things happen. Circumstances happen. We may leave here and have a terrible accident, but that doesn't limit God working in us. Romans 8 and verse 28. Romans 8 and Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. As Mr. Yates mentioned about trials and difficulties, they are for our good. Many of us, when we listen to the news, we get tired of the bad news. We get tired of the, for lack of a better term, people doing stupid things. But if God didn't want us here, he could have put us in the outback in Australia where there's nobody around, and we would feel safe, but will we develop the character? Will we develop the ability to choose right from wrong or to make decisions that are godly? It's tough here to live in this world, but if we endure and we rely on God, he will take care of us. We look at the example of Job in Job 42 and verse 2. Job 42 and verse 2. I know, Job 42 verse 2, that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Job believed that, and we all should believe that also. The seventh point is believing the work God is doing. We should not get sidetracked by false doctrine. If offenses or misunderstanding or something happened where we misunderstood someone or someone doesn't speak to you or they see you in the grocery store and don't speak to you. As my wife, one of her co-workers, often says to children who are constantly complaining, build a bridge and get over it. But, but we all face various challenges. So we just don't. The point is we shouldn't let little things derail our goal to be in God's kingdom. There is a work to be done in each of us. Each of our lives, minds, and heart are God's workshop if we yield to him. We are being trained to become teachers, as Mr. Zimmerman spoke about last month. God will complete the work he has begun in us. Let's turn over to Philippians 1 and verse 6. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. How relevant is God's work in us? Do we ask the question or do we ponder whether we are in the right church? Many times people may attend here this Sabbath and attend somewhere else the next Sabbath. One of the men in one of the areas I spoke in not too long ago, he and I were baptized by the same minister in the Carolinas. But he is an individual now who attends various Church of God groups and various feast sites. But he blames that. His constant complaint is that we as a church have become lukewarm. So I gather he's shopping around to find someone that is on fire for God. Some, unfortunately, are proud that they do not belong to any church group. They are free to travel wherever they want to, but not to step on anyone's toes. But if we are, how can we get to know one another? How can we serve the brethren if we are spreading around or going from pillar to post? We have to be together to get to know one another, to serve the brethren. Some read John chapter 1, pardon me, 1 John 2, verse 26 and 27, to mean that we should not teach. We don't need anyone to teach us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 26 and 27. First John 2, verse 26 and 27. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and that you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And we can read Romans 10 and verse 14. It tells us that we need teachers. Romans 10 and verse 14. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Is attending Sabbath service important to spiritual growth and development? As I mentioned, and that's mentioned in Hebrews 10, verse 25, we are not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Is being a light to the world around us important in spreading the gospel message to the world? Many times, with so many things, so much evil, so much detestable things going on, we may be apprehensive to respond to comments that coworkers make because we may get retaliated against. But our light must shine. We must, if we are asked a question, we must respond carefully. But don't say anything to incriminate yourself or get yourself in trouble. But our light has to shine if we are living this way of life. God has never cancel his calling. We have to choose to allow him to work in us. Let's read Romans 11 and verse 29. Romans 11 and verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. We also must maintain that sense of urgency, as Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13 tells us. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have already always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. all of us must do something with the truth God has given us. We can't sit on it or allow it to just be here, be there in our mind and not live it, not share it. Peter encourages us in 2 Peter 1, verse 10 and 11. 2 Peter 1. Verse 10 and 11. Verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Quoting from an article written by Mr. Roger Foster in the January 1996 Good News titled Called, Chosen, and Faithful. We must remain faithful. God offers us an opportunity to serve Him. The choice is not a one-time decision. Matthew 24 and Revelation 6 describes a very difficult time for those people who serve God, and certainly we will be tested. In 2 Peter 2, verse 20 and 22. For if after you have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entertaining in them and overcome the latter, and is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than have known it and turned from the holy commandment and deliver it to them. Many times, where people who are called and who have chosen God's way of life and drift away, it's like the Bible describes a hog returning to the slop or a dog returning to his vomit. We don't want to be one of those individuals, because the calling of God and being chosen by God is the bar is up high. And if we respond to it, we can be used by God to teach and re-educate the world in the world tomorrow. Life Application Study Bible comments on the two verses I just read. Peter is speaking of a person who has learned about Christ and how to be saved and has been positively influenced by Christians, but rejects the truth and return to his or her sins. Salvation isn't automatic. We must remain faithful to our calling to be saved. In John 15, verse 4 to 6, Jesus Christ compares himself to a vine and his true prophet and his followers, the branches. John 15, verse 4 through 6. John 15, verse 4 through 6. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as branches and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If we remain faithful, We will grow to be like Christ spiritually. As verse 2 of John 15 and verse 8. Let's read verse 2. Every branch, John 15, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. And verse 8. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As I said previously, trials help us. They expose our weakness. The authentic Christian will display a life mentioned in 1 John 2, verse 3 through 6. They will display the fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We are called to surrender our will to God, repent, and receive His Holy Spirit. We have made the choice to allow God's Spirit to build, to guide both our hearts and our conduct. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Paul speaking, But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and pillar and ground of truth. God has made it abundantly clear what His authentic disciples are. They are called to surrender their will to God, repent, and receive God's Holy Spirit. Because they made the choice to allow God's Spirit to guide both their heart and mind and their conduct, they are chosen for salvation, to have a part in His eternal kingdom. Let's strive to be those who are called, chosen, and faithful.